Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. let me just start off by saying I am not suffering, but I'm dealing with terrible allergies, and so my throat feels like it's going to close up. But anyway, I'm going to do the best I can, and I hope it doesn't affect the reading. Also, I wanted to say this is, we're nearing the end of Women's History Month, so most of the poems this evening will be about women, about our experiences, about our pain and joy and love and laughter. Okay, let's start with that. Most of my, women in my family, in my generation of my grandmothers, they were all, well, not all, but most, worked as housekeepers or maids, as the term was used. And this is dedicated to them and the indignities many suffered in that role of being a servant. Okay. Dinner is served. The children called her by her first name. For her own to do so would have wreaked havoc. The missus was demeaning. The missus was demanding, mean-spirited and curt at best. The mister, on the sly, was forward and flirty and made her skin crawl, made her feel dirty. She had children of her own in need and depending. She ignored all, worked steady, did all the cooking and mending. But as if guided by a hand that better understood the game, she picked the roast up off the floor, placed it on the platter, hid the bits of dust under parsley as Mr. graciously held open the dining room door. Standing all day, feet throbbing with pain, swollen, face through for the day. Maybe a soaking will ease it away. Heels looking like peeled potatoes, skin's crusty enough to bake a pie. Corns lined up side by side, hurt so bad I just want to die. But got a party tonight. John Taylor's singing the blues. Well, let me get the butter out so's I can slide on them pretty new shoes. Okay. Okay. You know I'm flipping pages for those who have been tuning in regularly.
Lucy?
Yes,
Yeah, those two that you did, my mother was the housekeeper, too. She cleaned houses all her life so I could have what she didn't have.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Working there and then had to come home, cook for us, and braid our hair at night and let us sleep in a stocking cap so it would be neat the next day. Oh, yeah. And I never heard my mother complain.
Exactly. Not once.
Never. Not
and they
one.
Often, yeah, and they often suffered a lot of indignities, a lot of, insults and you know, what I guess you could use the term, sure, you can use the term bullying, but they endured so they could take care of their families, you know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if you heard me in the beginning. I'm suffering with allergies, and you know how that gets in your throat. So
oh, yeah.
I hope it's okay. Okay, let's see. And I'm going to stop pretending I'm organized. Them days are gone. I am not organized anymore.
But, Lucy, you do a good job in presenting your material. However you do it, you do a good job.
Well, you should see it after when it's all over and said and done. The paper's all over the floor, you know.
Ah.
I read one, then I just throw it down on the floor. And then I gather them all up and put them back in my folder or whatever, you know. Let me say this. I wanted to say a shout-out to Courtney, who's my niece, and her three children. And Lord forgive me, let me see, Ryder, Penelope, and, oh, my Lord, that's terrible, forgetting the name, but they they flew in from Baltimore to visit me today.
Oh, did they?
Yes. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. That's why I got this pollen, because I was outside, you know. But anyway.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know you enjoyed them.
Oh, my goodness. They took me to this place called Miss Harriet's, which is it's a hamburger place in Charlotte. And
oh, okay.
And it is a very popular place, and the owner, I think his name is Jay, and I got my picture taken with him today because he's on social media, so he has a lot of videos and stuff on Instagram, but I don't know much about Instagram, but that's how my niece found them. And when she said she was coming this way, she said, "We're going to Miss Harriet's." That's the name of the place. And
oh,
I tell
okay.
you, you know, at this age, 78, you know, your eating habits and all of that have changed. You know, your metabolism has changed. And what you eat has changed for the most part.
Right.
So I don't eat a lot. I eat like a bird, you know, for a number of reasons at this age. From your teeth to your stomach to your whatever, you know, there are issues going on. But I'm telling you, you know, I pigged out. I pigged out at Miss Harriet's. That was you would have thought I never had a hamburger in my life, but that hamburger was so
good. Oh, was that good?
Good. It was that good, and it was real meat. You know, it wasn't any McDonald's stuff. This was
was
a hefty cheeseburger. I said, oh, my Lord have mercy. So I know I'll be suffering a little bit later on, but it was well worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It was well worth it, you know. But, they came down there. She's from Atlanta. She's lived in Atlanta for 12 years. She works for Southwest Airlines. And, but she's still with Southwest Airlines, but out of the Baltimore area now. But they flew down. It was just wonderful, you know, because basically, you know, COVID really stopped people from interacting and visiting.
It shut it down. Sure did.
Yeah, it shut it down. So I was just so, I'm telling you, I'm still real happy, you know, joyful
they
came and took me. It was really, really nice. Okay. Let me do the, I'm going to do Ode to the Chitlins, Mystique. And, you know, we've had this conversation before about Chitlins. Some people say Chitlins. Some people say Chitlins. You know, it's all kinds of names, of course. But, you know, I started reading about the history of Chitlins. And of course, for the most part, we think that it was just from slavery and the end scraps of food that were given to slaves. Now, all of that is true. But Chitlins go back to the 1700s. Do you hear me?
Oh.
In Europe. Yes. So I haven't finished reading that history, but I found it fascinating, you know. So they've been around for a very long time in different cultures. So I want to finish reading that, you know, and then maybe I'll come up with something or I'll share what I learned.
Okay.
The next time.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as me and Chitlins, we never got along. I just never got along. Just to say the word evokes all this smell in my nose. I can smell them right now.
Well, you know, they used to serve them at Livingstone sometimes on a Friday night.
And you know I didn't eat none.
But what I wondered, how could they get a big supply like that? I mean, because they served a whole lot of kids.
I don't know.
Somebody must have just been supplying that for them.
You know who, Lord, her name just came to me and jumped right out of my head again. Miss Burnside. Let me write that down. Miss Burnside. You remember her?
Oh, I remember Miss Burnside.
Yeah,
wasn't she the librarian?
No. Miss Burnside was the head of the cafeteria.
Oh yes.
She was mean.
I think she seemed
always,
like this.
She always had that hairnet on. And,
sure did.
And she was always fussy. I'm going to have to write something about Miss Burnside. I couldn't think of her name until just now.
Because I
remember it was me. I don't know who was the other student that was with me, because we were stopped at the line, and Miss Burnside came over, because I was asking the lady, you know, behind the, you know, where you had your tray and stuff, what was this floating in my tea? You remember the iced tea we would get?
Oh, yeah.
With our meals. And it'd always be something like white foam floating in the tea. I even wrote home to my mother about that. I don't know what it is. But I found out that it was what they call saltpeter. I'm gonna talk about that too. Saltpeter, which at that particular time was something that they would put in the young gentleman's food. It was supposed to help keep their hormones level.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes, girl. I'm gonna have to write about that. But anyway, so Miss Burns, I'll never forget. She was mean. But anyway.
Oh, she was mean. She was strict.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Uh-huh.
Well, they all were. Every last one of those faculty members were about
now
business.
You're telling the truth. You're telling the truth. But, you know, maybe they had to be that way to keep us safe.
Oh, they did. I didn't
hard
like it at
to
the,
keep us
yes,
safe.
Yes, you're right. I didn't like it at the time.
Oh,
you
I
know,
didn't
I thought
either.
It was
I don't
mean
think any
stuff,
of us did.
But now at this, you know, looking backwards, I mean, they really did, like you said, they kept
uh-huh.
us safe.
They
kept us
safe.
From harm. They kept us right.
Sure
they
did.
Kept us on track. What the mission was to be productive in school and go on and do better than the last generation. You know, I mean, that was an awesome task that they took upon themselves. That I think a lot of us didn't appreciate at the time, but now at this stage, you knew what they did was an awesome thing, you know.
That's right. That is so right.
But I still didn't like Miss Burnside's food. And my mother sent me care packages, you know, with hot cereal and stuff. Well, let me read this about the chitlins. Okay. And that would be a ton of chitlins they'd have to get to be feeding us, you know,
at
the
school. That's what I'm thinking. Because, right, it's not like they just served a few, you know. They
right.
had to get some chitlins from somebody. And when they got them, they had to be clean. Because I know they didn't
now,
have time to clean them in the cafeteria.
Well, I'm not going to talk about it. What could have happened?
We hope they were really clean.
Yeah. Okay, this is Ode to the Chitlin's Mystique. Can't wash the dishes. The unholy gray mass is quietly soaking in the sink. Like the calm before the storm of boiling water that will unleash their horrid secret. They're seasoned with salt and pepper and vinegar and placed on the stovetop. Their odor rises with the steam, lifting the top of the boiling pot. The aroma floats in every direction, out the kitchen window and onto the street, and knocking on every neighbor's door, drifting throughout the house, sneaking around the corner, through the living room, and up the stairs, and oh my God, to my room. Okay, I ran ahead of its trail to close. Excuse me. To wait. Sorry.
Take your time. Okay.
Yeah, it's that pollen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaking around the corner, through the living room, and up the stairs. And, oh, my God, to my room, I run ahead of his trail to close closet doors and to cover my clothes, my shoes, my everything to protect them from getting that telltale day after scent that lets everyone you know and those you don't know just what you had for dinner last night. There's no delicate way to say it. Chitlins downright stink. Those ugly gray brown pink things. Those swarmy, swiggly, wriggly things. Who would ever think that they could please a palate? And Daddy swears I'm not his child if I don't fix a plate, as he doctors his portion with red hot sauce. But chitlins will not bring a smile to these downturned lips. No matter how much collard greens and potato salad and cornbread on the side. I just don't get it. What is the attraction? Especially when you know what passes down the winding and twisting canal. But everyone seems to enjoy them. They eat and eat and eat, and tell jokes about the meat, about how, excuse me, about how Mrs. Wallace's chitlins ain't good because she don't clean them right, and how Mrs. Jefferson served some pregnant chitlins, and folks got sick. They continued to talk and eat and eat and compliment the cook, saying, "These is show some mouth-watering, lip-smacking, kiss your mama, thank you, good eating chitlins." And I just don't see the appeal and find it a rather distasteful meal. Boy, the pollen here is just awful. Just cut your throat off. Okay.
Could you drink some water?
I don't have any. Hold on 1 second. Let me grab water.
Yeah, get some water.
I didn't get any water. I grabbed the soda because it has that fizz in it. Sometimes the pollen, I mean, drink the water and it just, like it just slides down over top of the pollen. It doesn't remove it. But it's my fault, you know. And I took today's outing, I took a face mask with me, which I wore on my wrist and not on my face. So that's my fault. Because I know I have terrible allergies, you know. But I was so excited, you know, visiting with family. So I just had to suffer through it a little bit. Okay. Let's see. This is called Quitting Time. And this is about relationships. One more time. Cough, excuse me. Oh, goodness. Quitting time. The whistle's blowing. No more overtime. Gotta get me some peace of mind. Gonna leave your mess for another brother who ain't gonna stray. The hour has arrived, and not a minute too late. Got no more time for your slick jive. Ain't no washing your clothes and holding your dinner. Keeping it warm and watching the clock, worrying and getting thinner. Listen, for your key is in the lock. Even though I moved the table and got the door blocked, waiting by the silent phone, why doesn't it ring? Making my home cold and my heart sting. Just ain't gonna do it no more. Just can't do it no more. It's quitting time. The whistle's blowing. It's quitting time. That's the that was the nice way they did it back in the day with these people. Nowadays, the relationship. I couldn't even imagine what a relationship would be today. The way the all the not just competition, but the impact of social media and stuff and how you meet people today would just blow my mind.
And they say anything.
Okay, let's see. Okay, Nobody's Counting. That's the name of this one. And when we were growing up, and I'm sure for you too, and we were taught that you didn't talk when old folks were talking, when grown-ups were talking. You were respectful. Right. You sat there. You were quiet. Mm-hmm. But our little ears picked up quite a lot. You know, we learned a lot through our silence, you know. And anyway, I've always loved older people. There's so much to learn, you know.
That's right. But, they fit in on wisdom, godly wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, this is called Nobody's Counting. I love the company of the old folks. So much wisdom they have to share. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
smugglers out here barking. Wait a minute. Why are you barking? Come on. Come on. It's cold, Mo. Come on. This girl is sick. She's out there. Could you hear her barking? Okay.
Made me interrupt my phone. Okay. So much strength to gain from the stories of overcoming, struggle, and pain. The only thing I hate is when I ask their age, and the answer comes back, near as I can figure. You see, back then, nobody was counting niggas. This treasure of a human being was only seen as being black. Okay. Let's see. Drink your water, Momo. Okay. Let me see. I'm flipping papers, and let's see what we come up with. Okay. Okay, here we go. You know, I don't understand the education system today. It needs a total revamp. And but these were my thoughts 20, 30 years ago when I wrote this, called When the Chalk Dust Settles. The noise in the back is Mo, who also has allergies, and she's getting her water. Okay. When the chalk dust settles, stamp them in, stamp them out. Seat work,
right.
Seat work until they cry out. Some teachers come early to jumpstart the day. Not with lessons, but with wessons, oil, and AIDS. Stamp them in. Stamp them out. In your seat. In your seat. No moving about. Some teachers stay late, but not with papers to grade, but for gossip, cheese eating, and secret dates they've made. No time to educate children's minds. Got five more classes before the end of the day. Stamp them in. Stamp them out. Train the child to obey. Education is the key to the future, 'tis true. But we'd better rethink where we get it from and from whom. You know, I'll say I noticed maybe about 10 years ago, I noticed a change in education, or when my came to use my computer to get her homework assignment done. And I watched, and I was in the room with her, beside her, watching as she was doing it in case she had any questions or problems. But she was ahead of me because I didn't really know how to use computer. But what just totally knocked me off my feet was the fact that all she did was cut and paste. She hadn't read anything. She hadn't used the dictionary. She hadn't done a summary. She didn't write down any notes. She cut and paste stuff off of a website and put it on her page to be turned in as her work. I was just taken aback. I said, how in the world can that be accepted as work? She didn't even know what she put on it, just enough to satisfy the assignment. So I knew we were going downhill from that. And I don't know how I don't know. I can't even jump into the conversation about education today. Now that they have this thing called, what's it called? AI, you know, artificial intelligence. They say you can't tell anything. I mean, it is so, what's the word, advanced that you don't know whether it's real or not real, what you're looking at, you know, or even what you're reading. And so I think we've just taken a dangerous turn. And I don't know. All I know is education is in a fix. And I just don't know. I don't think these kids, the world as we know it again, is making a big change. And these kids are not looking to get jobs as carpenters or as plumbers or what. These kids see that you can go on their social media stuff. I found out that these young people can make millions of dollars just by being on a social media page and posting stuff. I mean, well, congrats to them, but what does that do to our world? And then we have, you know, we have the immigrant problem. So they're the people who are coming in and getting these jobs and getting all these subsidies from the government, where our children are being drawn in with the social media and AI and producing stuff that will bring them a lot of cash. But these other tasks that we've been so used to are falling by the wayside, so somebody's going to have to do those jobs. But we aren't the ones that are getting them, you know. So it's just, it's a mess. That's all I know. It's a mess. Mo is, can you hear Mo? She's having
Yeah, I can hear. Yeah, I can hear Mo.
So Mo and I'll be, I should record Mo and I coughing together. The pollen is just, you know, the pollen, you can see the pollen, the cars are yellow. You know?
Mm-hmm. I heard a meteorologist say, I think about a week ago, he said because we started getting blooming so early this year that people who have problems with allergies, he said, get ready. Yeah, he said it's coming earlier this year because we had the warm days in there.
When I get off of here, I'm going to be gargling with salt and water, you know. Come here, Momo. And drinking water doesn't do anything. It just slides right over it, you know. My goodness. Yes, Mo, I know. Can you hear her?
I hear her. I sure do.
Yeah. I know, baby doll. Okay. Let's see. Women. That's what I'm doing. I forgot for a minute. My throat is so sore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it feels like slight burning. There's a drain.
Oh,
it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, Momo. Let me do this for him. This is let me do Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. You know how when you have a family reunion or a family picnic or whatever, is always that one person that stands out?
Oh, yeah.
And usually not for the best of reasons. I don't want this to sound like I'm against men. I'm not. There have been women who act the same way. They want to be seen. You know,
right.
They don't want to believe that 20 years have passed, and
that's
when you get 20 years older, you know.
Yeah.
And so this is where the thoughts came for this poem. It's Momo, come here. Come here, baby. Come here. Go get your water dish. Okay. Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. I know it hurts. Go drink. I'm sorry. Mo is really having the time of it. Okay. Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. He was a bad motor scooter. Everybody knew his name. Designer suits and silk shirts were the trademarks of his game. He was a bad dap daddy. Kept his dues sleek and fine like black patent leather. His blocks were greased and spit shined. He was a bad mamma jamma. Four gold caps on his smile. Never mind he never visited or spent a dime on his child. He was a bad lover man. Sweet talked a whole lot of skirts. A lover man leaving sugar daddy who left a long trail of hurt. He was a lonely old fool who eventually reaped what he sowed. He thought he'd always be cool. He thought he'd never grow old.
I like that.
Yeah.
And see, everybody knows somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Some people really fear aging, and they don't want to believe that they, you know. Okay, Momo. Oh, she sounds worse than me. Okay, this one, I think I read this last week or whatever, but I forgot.
Okay.
This poem is called Banana Bread, and it was selected by the Czar Neale Hurston Society to be published in their booklet, the Czar Neale Hurston.
Oh, that's great.
Forum.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. That was... they published it in 1995, so I tell you how long ago I wrote this. But the poem came about, I think I was cleaning the yard or raking or getting ready to rake or contemplating, do I feel like cleaning this yard or not? And so it has to do with, it was just a realization for me what the leaves falling and turning colors and what that really represented in life. So it's called Banana Bread. Mo, please drink some water. Mo looked at me like, now you know water don't do nothing. Okay. Okay. I respect spotted bananas and green peppers and bruised peaches and pears. I no longer gag when I see wilted lettuce, touch soft cucumbers or squishy tomatoes. I won't throw them out anymore. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. I make banana bread and take the time now to look for the good parts that are left. Then I smile and savor their flavors, made rich by age. I no longer step on fragile leaves, changing from lush to limp to dust. I won't rake them anymore with a rake. I admire their multicolors that make me, take notice of life. I'm in awe that in winter's shadow, they continue to give pleasure and to make memories and to let me know there is purpose and beauty, even in the end of things. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, let me see. I'm telling you, my throat's trying to close up.
You know, orange juice, I found it's good. You have orange juice.
No, but I what do I have in there? I got cranberry juice and apple juice.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be good.
When I'm done, I'm going to gargle with salt water, and then I'm going to make me some hot tea and put some, I think I got a lemon in there and some honey.
Oh, that'll work.
Yeah. Can you still hear her?
Oh, I hear her.
Yeah,
I sure can.
Yeah, we can't. We don't make it up over here. I'm telling you, allergies are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like a dummy, I knew the pollen was there because you see it on everything. And I had my stupid face mask on my wrist rather than up on my face. So it's my fault. Okay. Let's see what I can come up with now. Hold on one second. Okay, baby girl. Okay. Okay. All righty. And with her, you know, she... Mo has, she'll be 16 soon in May, and she has her trachea, the bones in her trachea are thinning out for no other reason that she's an aging dog, you know. 16 years old is pretty old for a dog.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why the sounds, why it sounds so horrid, you know.
But, yeah.
She's not in pain. But she's had, in fact, she has to go back to Weddington this week. They took a biopsy of her left eye, a biopsy from around her eye. You know, she's blind in one eye, you know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's going through it, I tell you.
Oh, bless her heart.
No, there was a growth near her eyeball. She's blind in her right eye, but she has a growth near her left eye. That's where they took a biopsy, and we're supposed to go back and get the results this week. But, anyway, okay. You know what? Dogs are treated better than humans. They got better medical care. I swear they got better medical care for dogs.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Because
people walk by a human. They ain't gonna walk by a dog.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. Uh-huh.
It is. It is the truth.
Why?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, my throat is trying to close up. Okay, let's see. Titles, labels, money, and such. Don't give me a title. No, sir, no, ma'am. Mr., Mrs., Ms. is all most folks can stand. Some folks get a title, and it goes straight to their heads. Start acting real funny, like they got a stiff neck. Can't see the friends that they stepped on for writing big book checks. Labels, things, and money are the loves of their life, honey. Love of family and friends is vital. So please, don't give me a title. No, sir, no, ma'am. Mr., Ms. is all most folks can stand. some folks get a title and it goes straight to their heads. Makes me so mad and dizzy, I go straight to bed. Okay.
I like my, now, that made me think of my father. My father would say, don't put a title to his name. Just call me Jesse.
Yes, yes.
Just call me Jesse. Yeah, he would say that all the time. Yeah.
And it's true. Some people cannot handle big a title.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that just made me think, I don't know why that came in my head, but that man, Tim Scott from South Carolina. The one who's gonna be Trump's vice president.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know you're not talking about Tim Moore.
Tim, what is his name?
The black guy.
Senator Tim Scott. He's
Tim
black
Scott.
Guy, the one who's Lindsey Graham's buddy.
Yeah, now you know he's not going to have him for the vice president.
Yes, yes, it was announced.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I got to tell this to Clarence.
This is too much. You know, they need to just
you
stop.
You mean it
I'm
was
kidding.
Announced that Tim Scott is going to be the vice president?
Vice president candidate on Trump's ticket.
On Trump. Well, hold on a minute. Did you hear that? Lucy said it was announced that Tim Scott was going to be the vice president on Trump's ticket. He didn't say anything. I guess he's in shock. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Mm.
That's all I can say, too, is
Yeah. Clarence said that's a joke. I was getting
Yeah.
Who cares about Tim Scott?
The whole thing is a joke. That whole, you know, I don't want to talk politics, but everything is out of sorts, you know?
Right.
Education's out of sorts, government's out of sorts, politicians out of sorts. It's just craziness going on, you know.
All the time.
Yeah. Okay, let me, you know what? I'm going to end this a little early because I'm telling
you
my throat.
You need to, I'll get retained. You need to save your voice. Okay.
And Mo is miserable. But,
let
me
do this. Okay.
Let me do this one. This is a lady in church. In church, well, when I was young in church, we didn't have air conditioners or nothing like that, and everybody used
the
fan.
Oh, we didn't need
it.
We didn't need it.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And the big-chested women, you know, they had handkerchiefs and stuff either in their purse or either, you know, they stuck it down between their cleavage, you know, and then they pulled it out. But anyway, so let me see. Okay, then the other part of how this poem got started, I used to sneak upstairs to the balcony. That was our goal, the kids. Our goal was after we left Sunday school, which was on the first floor, then you walk up a flight to get to the main sanctuary, okay? But at the top of the stairs, you could go left or you could go right. You go left, you go into the sanctuary, and that's usually where the ushers were, you know, making sure everybody is, you know, coming in the sanctuary proper. But if you could sneak through there and go to your right, that took you up to the balcony where we as kids, we could play and talk and stuff, you know, because we didn't care nothing about what the pastor was saying because he wasn't talking to us, you know. Okay, let me do. Okay, Mo, I'll be finished in a minute, sweetie. She's staring at me. Okay. Eau de cologne. Oh, anyway, when that happened, my sisters got up there, but I didn't. and I got snatched up by the, by one of the ushers and made to sit down on the sanctuary floor. Okay, eau de cologne. I goes to church early. Got to have me an end seat on the pew. Never, never, never again will I be squeezed between two big titty ladies reeking of eau de cologne, put on to attract the elder brothers who've been widowed for so long. Wait a minute. Well, between them two weaving and swaying with the choir and shouting and jumping and fanning them breezes across my face, I felt so sick and dizzy, I thought the spirit was going to take my place. Because I was stuck between those two ladies. That's where the usher made me sit between these two ladies, you know. Because I guess, she thought I was a terrible person for trying to sneak up into the balcony. But it's about 7:50 or 7:51, but I'm going to call it quits because I really am.
Yeah, go on. Take care of your voice. Okay.
Yeah. But I thank you for listening. And I also wanted to say if there was anyone who was interested in me doing a performance or reading, just get in touch.
Oh, now, Dawn okay, is working on that now.
Say that again.
My friend Doris is working on that now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She really wants you to read to a gathering.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's working on that now.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I've got to go. I really do. My voice is...
Okay. All righty.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thank you for tuning in, and I'll
talk to you soon. I love it. Okay. Take care.
All right. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.